Amen. Aren't you glad again that you live in this great country? And, you know, there's a lot of folks, I think, today you'll find people that live in these United States. And you know, I'm surprised, but they say, well, we're not proud of our country. And I've even seen some people say they hated it. And, hey, feel that way if you want to. I'm thankful to be here in the good old U.S. of A. And if you don't, you know what Louis Grizzard used to say all the time? He was a Southern comedian. He said, boy, if you don't like it, he said, Delta's ready when you are. Amen? And I guarantee you start talking to some of these folks that say they hate the country and they don't like this and that and the other. Well, where you want to go? Well, nowhere. I want to stay here. Well, amen, that's what I tell them. Now, I know that ain't, you know, real polite probably, but that's what I'm telling them anyway. All right? Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, with me, please. Look in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Paul talks in this chapter about, of course, the life and issues as far as, you know, what people believe and how we should believe. I mean, what's going on. But if they don't, then, you know, they need to get some understanding, and he tries to give them that. And we've got a lot of questions, don't we, about all of this thing of life and death and all the situation of how does this happen and how happens that and all those kind of things. We don't understand. Paul gets into it probably as deep as he can in this explanation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he talks about, you know, how that we are saved and how that we that are saved believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that. He said, because if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then you're still in your sins, and everything you do at church and in your Christian life, it's all in vain. There's nothing worth anything. So he said, you know, what are we even doing here? He said, but I want to tell you, I'm assured that Christ did rise from the dead. Amen? And that he is alive today, and that he is the Savior of all those that would come to him. So then he begins to talk about, you know, what the body does, and you get, of course, you hear that read a lot in funerals or maybe during some graveside services. You hear some of those things, and probably you hear this in verse number 54, and Paul is discussing this idea of our corruptible bodies and those incorruptible things that are coming. He says in verse 54, so when this body that you have now, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, this morning. Thank you for your word. Good blessing in it. Touch our hearts. Speak to us. Something right out of the Word of God that would encourage us, that would strengthen us, help us to go forward, and make us want to go on for you today. And again, we'll just simply bow these heads and give you thanks and praise for everything you do for us, for we ask it in Jesus' name today. Amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this little simple thought and that we're going to call, don't move. Don't move. Will you look at the very last verse again with me and notice what Paul said. Paul said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I want to encourage you today, and I want to encourage others, maybe they're listening by way of Facebook, watch this later on, whatever they may do. I want to encourage you to be of that same mindset and say, don't move. I don't want anything to move us from our hope of the victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, we sing that old song a lot of times, and we sing Victory in Jesus. Now, 120 out of the songbook. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. Listen, you and I need to understand that there really is. It's not just a saying. It's just not some cliche. But you and I have victory in Jesus Christ. I mean, just listen to what Paul said. Paul says, if you think about it, you and I think about it, we get the idea of death as death having a victory, that it's gained something. But he says, look, when all of these things that are coming to pass one day, when they do come, he said, our corruptible bodies will put on incorruption. These mortal bodies will put on immortality. He said, and then shall be brought to pass that saying that is written, death is swallowed up in, or we'd say by, victory. We've got victory. And then he asked those questions, and these are quotes from the Old Testament. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? He said, the sting of death is sin. Jesus took the stinger out, y'all. Amen. He said, and the strength of sin is in the law. He said, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You and I can be assured that we have victory today. We got victory because there is victory in Jesus. So, let me just say that first of all. Let's just start out there first of all and say, don't be moved. Don't let anything move you because you have an assurance of victory in Jesus. You have an assurance that there is victory in Jesus. Boy, isn't it sad today that when you ask people and say, well, hey, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, maybe so. And there'll be people even tell you, say, well, preacher, we don't know that till we get there. Oh, thank God, aren't you glad right here? Your Bible tells you there is victory when you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? There is victory. I mean, why do we say that? Why do we sing about victory in Jesus? Because, listen, we are the kind of people that have something in our salvation. Because you got saved, you can have some assurances in your life. You can have some assurances that there's some victory in Jesus. What does that mean, preacher? Well, first of all, let me tell you this. Hey, you have a gracious deliverance. You've been delivered from, as Paul already said here, you've been delivered from what death brings us to fear. I mean, as I said, people have in their minds and in their thinking, there is a fear of death. There is, oh boy, death's on our trail. Death out to get us. Boy, whew, I almost just met death today. You know, we've got all of these sayings and these thoughts and this idea in our society today about death. Now, listen, I'm telling you, ain't nobody in here, you know, like kind of like the old guy was, said, well, who's ready to die? Maybe everybody raise their hand, except one old guy in the pew and one day, and the preacher said, son, what about you? He said, well, I'm ready. He said, but that's ain't one ready for the next load, amen? I mean, y'all go ahead and start without me, right? Ain't that the way most of us are? Oh, I'm ready to go to heaven, but I'm just not interested in leaving right now. But I'm telling you, the idea is this, that we can have an assurance of victory over these things because of what Jesus has done for us. What's He done? Well, I said, first of all, He's given us a gracious deliverance. We are graciously, by the amazing grace of God, we are delivered from the power. He says, death, where's your sting? I told you, Jesus has already pulled the stinger out of death. Now, you're going through it. You're going to it. And you know folks that have been there. And you know loved ones that have gone on. But thank God, can I tell you, there's no sting in death. Why is that, preacher? Because listen to what Paul said. He said, the sting of death is sin. When you get graciously delivered from your sins by the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, He took away the sting of death. What is that sting? That sting is the eternal separation from the presence of the Lord. Amen? from the presence of the Lord. There's a sting in it. When you know that you're not going to a place where there's comfort and peace and rest and blessings and even just the presence of the Lord, to know that, hey, that brings a sting into somebody's life. You ever been into some of those places where, you know, somebody has died and you ask them, you say, well, were they saved? Well, we don't know. Or we do know, and they weren't. They weren't ready for this hour. That's a sad day and a hurtful place to be. And I've been around folks like that. I've been to funerals and done funerals and been at funeral homes and visited. And, man, it hurts. But isn't it a good thing when you know that you go in and somebody can say, yes, I can tell you that my dear loved one here was saved and they were serving the Lord. And, man, they're in the very presence of the Lord today. Amen? Isn't that good to know that? I'm telling you, hey, when you've got that kind of assurance, we have the assurance because we have a gracious deliverance. But I can tell you this, hey, for those that are saved, there is a glorious destination. Amen? Hey, we're going somewhere, folks, that you can't even think of. You can't even imagine it in your mind. I mean, it is so glorious and so grand. Paul talked about when he was left, and he mentions that, he talks as if it's someone else. But it's actually him. And he says, I knew a man, and he talks about how long ago it'd been, years ago. He said, whether he's in the body or out of the body, he said, I can't tell you. He said, but I do know this. He said, he saw some things that it's not lawful to utter. Paul said, there's some stuff there. I can't tell you about it. You know why? Because it's so good, you'd want to go right now. Amen. And I'm just telling you, friend, one of these days, you and I are going to stand in the very presence of our Lord, and it's going to be one of the most grand and glorious places. Oh, listen, it is one of the best things that's ever going to happen to you. It is a destination, and we have the hope of a glorious future because of what Jesus Christ has done for me and for you. Amen. Oh, isn't it good to know that? Isn't it good to know that? I mean, we sing that song sometimes about, we sing many songs about heaven, but I'm telling you, we sing about heaven being a beautiful place, heaven being a peaceful place, heaven being a place of reunions and of families and most of all, meeting the Lord, hearing, well done, thou good and faithful sir. I mean, man, that day is coming for us very soon. Amen. That day's coming. And I'm just telling you, because you have that assurance of victory in Jesus, don't be moved. Don't let anything shake you up. I'm telling you, as I say, you watch the news and all the things that are going on, and it can get disheartening. It can get discouraging. It can get disappointing. But can I tell you, Jesus said, lift up your eyes. Amen? He said, because your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is a coming soon, y'all. Amen. I'm just telling you, hey, you don't have to be moved. Don't move because, hey, you've got the assurance of a victory in Jesus Christ. But let me tell you this second of all. Don't move because of the authority of our hope in Jesus Christ. You have the authority, you have the power, if you will, of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, hey, He has given you a place where you can be hopeful. Listen to what Paul says here. He says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, he said, be ye steadfast. You know what the word steadfast means? The word steadfast in the dictionary means to be settled, to be seated, or to be firmly situated. It means to be grounded and rooted in something that isn't going anywhere. Boy, aren't you glad that you have that hope? I'm telling you, the songwriter got it right when he said, my hope is founded on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. Can I tell you, that's an absolute truth today when you realize, man, you have to find yourself as being a person in a stable position. Steadfast. You need to get steadfast. Don't move. Yeah, but preacher, the people come by and knocked on my door, and they told me that blah, 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 blah. Hey, just tell them, go on. You're steadfastly grounded, rooted, steadfast, upright in the Lord Jesus, no matter what somebody else may have to say. Amen? Because they're out there. There are people out there that will try to confuse you. They'll try to destabilize you. They'll try to get you to stumble and fall and mess up. But thank God, aren't you glad of that? That you can be rooted and grounded in the things that you find in this book. I'm telling you, what we need today, and one reason why we do what we do on Wednesday nights, amen, and have Sunday school, all of these things, is so that you can be exposed to the Word of God. And by that exposure, you'll know what you believe and why you believe what you believe. Amen? I mean, listen, without any kind of hope in this world, if you have no hope, then, buddy, you really have no chance of faith in your life. You don't have any faith. If you don't have any hope, what are you? Well, I got faith. Well, what do you got faith in? Well, I just got faith that everything's going to be okay. Well, that's dumb. Let me just tell you, okay? You better have your faith anchored in something and very realistically someone, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Get your faith anchored in Him. If you have no hope, you have no faith, and then you know what you begin to do? You'll begin to wander. You'll begin to waver. You'll be over here. You'll be over there. You ever seen folks like that? I've been around folks and talk with them sometimes. They said, well, I used to be. Oh, heavenly days. When they used to be. I used to be a Baptist. And now they belong maybe to the Mormons. Or they belong to the Jehovah's Witnesses. Or they have shifted to this and that and become this denomination. You know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, what in the world is wrong with you? Because when you begin to look at some of these things that other, even denominations that seem to be what we would call mainstream, if you look at some of these other folks that are outliers, if you will, I mean, even, you know, Muslims and Buddhists and Middle Eastern religions and Far East religions, when you begin to look at that, son, they're off the map. Amen? Oh, but I feel good. Well, listen, your feelings will get you in trouble. Amen. You are not saved by your feelings. People today need to get. I've seen them. Me and Lynn was watching something on a video or something, and this lady said, "Oh, I feel like blah blah blah." Well, listen, I feel like a lot of stuff too. You ever get up in the morning and feel like? You ever feel like that? I've got up a lot of morning feeling, but you know what? I'm still saved because my faith was not in how I felt that day. My faith isn't whether I was running the temperature or whether I had the sneezes or the runny nose. Or hey, that wasn't where my faith is still anchored in the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Make that your steadfast hope. Amen. Make that your steadfast hope. Listen to what else Paul says. He doesn't just say it's a hope here that we have that'll help you to get stable, but it's also a hope that'll help you to realize you can be stubborn. Listen to what he said. Be ye steadfast. Secondly, he said, be unmovable. I mean, get stubborn in this thing. The word unmovable here means to be not being able to be moved from a placement or to be firmly persistent. I mean, get in with it. Get dug in. I'm telling you, Paul says over in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6, he said, when you've done everything else you can do, stand. Just stand. Hey, the storm's coming, the devils are roaring, and the winds are blowing. Just stand up and be unmovable. I mean, that's what you got to be. You and I have to be unmovable in the hope of Jesus Christ. You know what Paul says over in the book of, again, of Acts chapter number 20 and verse 24? He said, none of these things move me. People have told him, oh, you're going to be in jail. Bad stuff's waiting for you. This is going to happen. It ain't good, Paul. All that kind of stuff. You know what he said? Ain't none of that moving me from what I got in Jesus. Now, you let us sometimes, you let three drops of rain. Oh, can't go to church today. It's raining. Amen? Well, I stubbed my toe last night on the end of the bed. I can't go. Listen, God help us. Get unmovable. I mean, don't let every little wind and every little whisper and every little thing kind of come through here and blow you out of sorts sometime. Amen? Now, I know people have sicknesses, and I understand that, and things happen, and I got all that. But I'm just saying, man, we let stuff blow us plumb off a map. You know, people, well, where are you? Well, I'm over here because... Well, wake up. Get unmovable. I mean, just anchor your feet in. And, you know, sometimes, and it's not a bad thing to depend on others or whatever, but sometimes you just need to be like, I think as Brother Sean read last week, you have to encourage yourself in the Lord sometimes. You remember the story of one of David's mighty men named Shammah? And he went out to defend a little patch of lentils. Or if you will, he went out to the pea patch. He went out to the, you say, preacher, that pea patch ain't much. Listen, it wasn't much, but it was the Jewish people's pea patch. I mean, the Philistines come in and said, we're going to take this over. It's going to be ours. We're going to loot and rob and take from that. And we're just going. And Oshama grabbed his sword, stood up, said, come on, big boys. I'm here to fight for my pea patch. Sometimes you just need to get the hope of God in your soul and stand up and fight for your pea patch. Amen. That pea patch has your kids in it. That pea patch has your life in it. That pea patch has your labor in it. That pea patch has got everything you got. Thank God, stand up and fight for that. Amen. Amen. You remember when Nehemiah is on the wall and they're trying to build the wall over in the book of Nehemiah, where he says to the people, he said, here's what we're going to do. He said, we're going to stay within distance of each other. When somebody calls, we run to help them. He said, now I want you to realize when you go to help, you're fighting. And you're fighting for your kids. You're fighting for your wives. You're fighting for your families. You're fighting for your loved ones. You're fighting for your fellow countrymen. It's not just absolutely all about you, but you're helping somebody else. Amen. I'm telling you, he says, steadfast, be unmovable. I mean, listen, sometimes you've got to protect that field like Shammah did. Shammah was protecting that field because it was for the sustenance of his people and for the survival of their lives as they fought against the Philistines. And he just stood up, even though it was in the face of fear, he stood his ground. You know who helped him? I believe the Lord helped him. And I'll guarantee you this, he will help you. He will help you. Brother, just get your mind made up. Get your head on straight. Because, listen, you have the authority of the Word of God that says you can hope in Jesus. There's power when you hope in Jesus. I mean, not only is it talk about hope being to make us stable, hope makes us stubborn. I want to say, he said, your hope will also make you spilling and overflowing. Look what he says. Be ye steadfast and move, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what he says? He said, spill out some of this stuff. Overflow. I mean, we're to always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You know what that means? Don't quit and don't give up. That means keep on. Keep on. Yeah, preacher, but ain't nothing happening. Keep on. Yeah, but they don't like me. Keep on. It just doesn't matter anymore, friend. Let me tell you, this thing is not going to get better. Can I assure you of that? This world and the ways of this world and the things and ideology of this world, it's not going to get better. So I'm telling you, just keep on. Can I tell you this? God still saves old sinners. Amen? I mean, we got some folks in here that have been in the last few weeks, you know what? They have been to some baptisms of some young folks and their families. We got at least two that's here in this church that have been recently to some baptism of people in their families. You know what that means? That means there's another the devil didn't get. Amen? That means there's somebody that the Spirit of the Lord touched them, they believed in Jesus, and they got saved, and then they're baptized into the church and into the body of Christ. Thank God, aren't you glad for that? Amen. I know one this morning. What is he, about 10 years old? And he's getting baptized this morning. Amen. Hey, I'm just telling you, hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, don't you dare give up. I'm telling you, just let this stuff spill out. Just let it overflow. I mean, Paul says abound. Just do more and more and more and more. I mean, keep on going. Keep on doing it. And when you do, think of what all he has done for you. Think about what the Lord's done for you. Amen? I mean, just think, hey, God, you got me up today. You fed me. You gave me a way to church. You let me see my brothers and sisters. I've got a job to go to tomorrow. I got a home to go to tonight. I've got people that love me. I got the life in my body. Thank God for all of that good stuff. Amen. You know what that means? That means you can keep on working for him. Amen. I know, you're like the rest of you. Your back hurts sometimes, your knees give out, and your eyes don't work good and all that stuff. But thank God, you're still here. Keep on, keep on, keep on. You know why? Because you've got family. You've got children. You've got grandchildren. You've got folks that need God, and you and I can find no place to give up. Amen. There ain't no quitting place. When it comes, maybe you think quitting time, hand the baton off to somebody else and let them carry on from where you are. Amen? He says, look, be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, won't you look at one last thing with me, if you will. Don't move. Don't be moved because you got an assurance of victory. Don't be moved because you have the authority of hope in Jesus. But don't you be moved because there is an acknowledgement for the labor that you do in Jesus Christ. Listen to the very last thing Paul says here in verse 58. He says, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Listen, when you begin to look at this, he says, for as much as you know. Guess what Paul is saying? When you worship, when you work, when you do whatever you do for the Lord, you're not wasting your time. You know, there's a lot of folks like, well, why would I go to church? That's just a waste of time. Why would I go out and try to tell somebody about Jesus? That's just a waste of time. Well, they're not listening to me. They've never responded. You're not wasting your time. You do not know. I remember, I don't know, a long time ago, Brother Ronnie's dad, Brother Lee Bird, was telling me, he's talking about, he said, do you know the statistics that you got to visit people, he said, 17 times is the statistical average for people to get saved. I said, wow, didn't know that. He said, yeah, that's what the statistics had done. I don't know if it was the Southern Baptist or whoever, somebody had done that statistical study. And it wasn't until you'd done maybe that 17th visit till somebody got saved. He said, you know what that means? I said, no. What? He said, don't give up. Keep on going. He said, that labor is not in vain. What you're doing, I know people, sometimes they'll come up and they'll ignore you. And sometimes they'll be hateful towards you. They'll be resentful. Sometimes they'll slam a door in your face, say, I don't want to hear. All of that, just keep on keeping on. Amen? I mean, that's what Paul is saying. Look, he said, your labor's not in vain. It means you're not wasting your time. You're not wasting your energy. You're not wasting your life when you go to working for the Lord. It's not a waste of anything. Amen? Do y'all know, they announced yesterday, the baseball all-star team. Somebody say, whoopee-doo, preacher. Well, whatever. But do you know, most of the time, these statisticians and people, they say, that a man can be an all-star, a man can even be a Hall of Famer in the baseball world by batting with an average of about 300 or better. You know what 300 is? That's three times you got to hit out of 10. You know what that means? Seven times you failed. Seven times out of 10. You know what most of us do if we guess we're successful seven times out of 10? Then give up. I quit. And them idiots run out there and keep batting every day, don't they? And they keep thinking, boy, I'm going to hit one yet. I'm going to hit it. They just keep on and on and on. Why? Because they're laboring. Can I tell you, if you and I go and they slam doors in your face, if they cuss you out, if they tell you no, if they say, I ain't coming to church, you know, whatever it is, just keep on. Because, brother, can I tell you, this kind of work, hey, what them guys do, they're making money and they're doing all that in baseball. But listen, the work we do has an eternal worth and value in it. You're not wasting your time and your effort and your energies working for the Lord. Amen? There is something heavenly that pays off in this. Let me just tell you what. Just in closing, a few things, if you will. When you begin to work for God, can I tell you, Paul says that work that you do, it's not in futility. Your work is not done in futility. The Bible said, keep casting your bread on the water. You know why? Because it'll get to where it's going. It'll feed somebody. Sometimes you don't know who. You don't know how, and you don't understand, but I'm telling you, There's been times I've heard people say, you know, somebody else was witnessing to, or someone was witnessing somebody else I was with, and they didn't realize I was listening all the while, and it helped me. It helped me to see Jesus. It helped. They really wasn't intending for it, but it got me, and then maybe later on it got the other person too. But I'm telling you, you don't know where you're casting your bread. Cast your bread upon the waters. It's not going to return void. It will go and do the intended purpose that God has for us. So when you work, it's not in futility. Your work will never be fruitless. You see what he said? Your labor is not in vain. It is not a fruitless work. There are things that happen because you labor. God's feeding somebody. And if nobody else, it's helping you. It'll help you to gain some strength. It'll help you to gain some confidence. It'll help you to have some assurances in the Lord. So what? Just keep on keeping on. Hey, you know what? One of these days, those things that you have done, they'll not be forgotten when you stand before the Lord. Amen? I believe God's got a place for those, a reward for those, when you come and you worship and you work and you do for Him. Sing about Him. Study about Him. I mean, think about Him. Worship Him. Do whatever you do. And it's never in vain. You say, preacher, I can't sing. Cut her loose and let it happen anyway. Amen? I mean, let her go. Let her rip, tater chip. I mean, just get in here with it, right? Come on. Just let her go. Amen? I mean, just sing. Why? Because the Bible says, make that melody in your heart. Make a joyful noise. I mean, hey, you'd say, well, I know I've seen some people and that's what they're doing. That's okay. Amen. They're making a good racket for God. Hey, he's not impressed with every note and every perfection and every one of, you know, all that stuff. Hey, that doesn't, if you're singing with a melody in your heart to Him, He's pleased with that. Amen. He's pleased with that. So sing about Him. Get in your Bible and study about Him. Think about Him, like David said, that he meditated on the Word of God at night while he lay in his bed. I mean, think about Him and worship. Come on, as I say, into the church and worship Him. It's never in vain. As I said, it will give us a confidence. Paul said, for as much as ye know, you know. You know? Do you know today that whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain? That word you say, that person at work that you mention the Lord to, that one that you tell them you're praying for them, I mean, whatever, you know, that's got a reward behind it one of these days. It gives us some consolation to think that what we're doing is never in vain. And it also lets us know that there's a consideration for those that want to labor for the Lord. The Lord's going to recognize you one of these days. Amen. I got the idea. I don't know. It just seems like it. There's going to be somebody in heaven. And, oh, I mean, there's people that here we think, well, when we get to heaven, there'll be people like, you know, Dwight Moody and Charles Spurgeon and Billy Sunday and Billy Graham and all these great. They'll be up there and God will be putting them up. No, I believe He'll say, here, y'all get out of the way. There'll be some little old grandma. They'll come walking down through there and Jesus will say, come here. She'll come and stand in front of him and say, you was faithful in that little Sunday school class you taught. You blessed them little kids. You taught them. You poured your heart and your soul into that. And because of that, well done, my child. Woo, ain't that good? Because I'm telling you, that day is coming one day soon. Amen. Paul said, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad this morning I can say that I'm not going to move because there is victory in Jesus. I'm telling you, don't move because there is victory for you in Jesus. Brother William, come on. Let's get ready to sing something this morning. And I don't know, whatever you want to sing. If you want to sing that 120, that'll be fine. Or whatever you want to sing, be good. But I'm just telling you, we got victory in Jesus today. And you and I, we're not looking to have victory. We already have it. We're working from the victory side. You can just look up and sing that song, as we said. You can sing victory in Jesus. Why? Because He is your Savior forever. You've trusted Him. You've got your salvation. You've got your assurances in Him. Amen? Let's stand this morning, if you will. What are you going to sing?